Moving along to agenda item number five, Gene Case.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Gene Case, MRC number 16-1320. This is an appeal by 41 freeholders of the Matthews County Local Wetlands Board decision to authorize the installation of 436 linear feet of riprap revetment and two breakwater spurs along the East River shoreline at 726 Turpin Lane in Matthews County. As you may remember, this was continued from our November 1st, 2016 commission meeting at the request of the appellants. This is because the applicants have submitted a revised plan that would reduce the impacts to intertidal resources. And that board met on November 2nd and approved the revised project. The appellants are still continuing their, wish to continue their appeal of the project, and that's why we're here before you today. The project is located along the western shore of the East River. This is a tributary to Mob Jack Bay, Chesapeake Bay here, Work River, Gloucester Point down here to give you some sort of reference of the location. This is the project area circled in red, East River. The fetch to the west is approximately 0.9 miles. And this is the project shoreline here. You can see that it's wooded to the north, sandy wetland environment here, vegetated wetland environment here, extending down to the property line, which was again wooded, and then there's an existing revetment on the adjacent property owner to the south along his shoreline. This is a plan view of the proposed revetment and spurs. I'll blow this up in a second. It's a little difficult to see, but the revetment is completely landward of the mean low water mark along the mean high water line. So the revetment is totally within the Wetlands Board jurisdiction. The spurs do extend channelward to mean low water, so there is a subaqueous component to this project that we'll be dealing with probably at a later date. A little closer look at the spurs. We have a 51-foot spur and a 28-foot spur. Again, you can see they do extend channelward to mean low water here. Here's mean high water, and the line of the revetment is here. This is a channelward end of one of the spears cross-section, 17 feet wide, 2-to-1 slope on the channelward side, and they narrowed it down to 1.5-to-1 on the landward side, and this is just to reduce the footprint and try and minimize the impacts to the intertidal environment as much as possible. These are typical cross sections for the revetment itself. There's a couple of different shoreline environment grades that we're dealing with, a heavily escarped one and not so escarped, so that's why we have two different cross sections here. But again, they've pulled this revetment back as much as possible, straddling the mean high water line. There are still intertidal impacts, and I'll detail those in a minute. But they've narrowed this down, lowered it, and pulled it back as much as possible, again, to limit those impacts. These are some ground shots. I'm starting at the northern wooded edge, and I'm going to work along south to, along the shoreline. You can see they've lost several trees. You see exposed roots, escarpments. Here we're starting to get down into the, to where there's actually a little bit more sunshine, and we're getting some vegetated wetlands growing in. So we do have vegetated wetlands. Again, it's going to be coming right here. Some poles showing the location revetment, so there will be some vegetated wetland impacts and loss. But again, you can see we have escarpments, so there is active erosion on site. Looking a little bit further south again, we can still see the alignment coming down towards the trees to the south. And this is just turning around looking back to the north again. And this is the wooded area down to the south. Again, we have we have a nice little escarpment. We have exposed tree roots. This is a table of impacts. There's a couple of things I want to show you on this one. This is the previous alignment of the 525 linear foot revetment in the original application. You can see that in that permit was 402 square feet of loss of vegetated wetlands, 230 square feet of vegetated wetlands converted to non-vegetated or to intertidal riprap. This is the new project totals, and this includes the spurs, we've reduced that from 402 square feet down to 128 square feet of vegetated wetland loss, from 230 down to 67 square feet of vegetated conversion of vegetated wetlands to either intertidal rock or. Now, we do see a little bit of increase in the non-vegetated loss and conversion, but this is a result of the spurs that are being installed in. There's going to be a little bit of additional impacts there. But with the installation of these spurs, we are creating 75 linear feet of living shoreline, which is always nice. We like to try and connect the two environments, the uplands to the wetlands, as much as possible, so that does maintain some connection between the two. You can see that we've had quite an impact to the uplands. We've gone from almost 400 square feet of impacts in uplands to almost 800 square feet, so they're taking the hit themselves with their property by pulling it back into the uplands as much as possible. In the original application, it was appealed by the adjacent property owners and 39 other property owners in the county. They appealed the September Wetlands Board decision. In their letter to appeal, they cited several concerns. The first was that the board did not consider the Center for Coastal Resource Management, VIMS, shoreline report. They also said the revetment will harm this ecosystem. The revetment would be a danger to boating activities along the creek. And the board failed to consider impacts to adjacent property owner lands. In their letter to VMRC, continuing the objection to the November 2nd Wetlands Board decision to approve the revised proposal, they cited differences in the location and mean high water between the two proposals. The spurs will extend into public waters and will continue to be a hazard to boaters. They don't feel that this is a high energy area and there's not really active erosion on site, at least from wave actions. They feel the revetment and spurs still damage the ecosystem and that there are better choices available for erosion control. I'm briefly going to go over the record for the November 2nd hearing. After a short brief by county staff, the board opened the public hearing to testimony. The agent, Ms. Sherry Ash, testified first. She discussed the need for the project, which included evidence of shoreline erosion with escarpments and exposed tree roots, and she stated the erosion there is approximately 2 to 3 feet per year. She then discussed alternatives besides using a revetment at this site. One of those was a sill, which is a line of rock along the mean low water line with possible sand fill and plantings behind it. This was dismissed by the applicant as there is a property in a nearby area where they have a sill, and they've been having constant maintenance issues with the sill subsiding. They didn't discuss the breakwaters, which are larger piles of rocks strategically placed further offshore, again, probably with fill. And in this situation, this was dismissed because there are submerged aquatic vegetation beds offshore, and they didn't want to impact those. They also discussed pulling revetment landward completely into the uplands. There is a entity out there called the Chesapeake Bay Protection Act, and when you're dealing with those, you're dealing with resource protection areas, and it can be very tricky sometimes trying to put structures like this into the uplands. They work with the county. Some are trying to work these back, and they have pulled them back some, but the county was not willing, in my understanding, to have these revetments pulled completely back into the uplands. They wanted to try and protect those resource protection areas as much as possible. The board continued to discuss alternatives with the agent in greater detail, and then opened up the comments to the appellants. The first to speak was the property owner, John Uvardi, who owns property to the south. His main concerns were that he has a failing revetment there now, and at some point in the near future, he wants to install a living shoreline there, and he hopes that this project will not impact his ability to install a living shoreline there. Mike Witherspoon, who owns the property to the north here, was the next to speak, and he asked why revetment was needed on an undeveloped lot where there's low erosion currently happening. The house you see here is pretty dilapidated, but it's my understanding that the applicants do wish to rebuild that house at some point in the future, so they want to try and protect their property as much as possible now. Then Ms. Louise Witherspoon got up and spoke to the board, and she questioned the need for the project due to lack of erosion and cited concerns for the impact to the environment. The board then closed the public hearing and discussed the project and ultimately approved the project as proposed with the rationale that the applicant has shown that as much as as possible to protect the property with the minimum environmental impact and required mitigation for 128 square feet of vegetated wetlands, with the payment to the in-lieu fee, as on-site mitigation was not possible. I'll now read the summary recommendation. The Matthews County Local Wetlands Board held a hearing for Ms. Jean Case's modified application to construct a revetment and two breakwater spurs along her shoreline at 726 Turpin Lane during the November 2nd, 2016 meeting. During that hearing, they entertained the arguments made by the opposition regarding these impacts and felt the concerns were addressed. They noted that erosion is occurring in the area and that shoreline is currently undefended. They analyzed the methodology proposed by the applicant to defend the shoreline from erosion and the effort made by the applicant to avoid minimize impacting the intertidal area. They determined these efforts were appropriate and that nothing more could be reasonably done to minimize them. They then reviewed ways to mitigate for these impacts and determined that payment to the county's in-lieu fund for the loss of vegetated wetlands was appropriate. Upon review of the record, staff believes that the board has met their obligation under the standards for use and development of wetlands set forth in 28.2-130A of the Code of Virginia. Accordingly, staff recommends that the commission uphold the November 2nd, 2016 decision of the Matthews County Wetlands Board to approve the revised project as proposed. The Wetlands Board chairman is present today, as well as the applicant, agent, and as well as the appellants. And if you feel the need to open the record for additional testimony, I'll be glad to answer any questions I can at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Are there questions from the commission? Mr. Watkinson,
sure.
Please step forward here. I have a question. This is a review of a Wetlands Board decision.
Yes, sir.
What are the guiding criterion for the commission to keep in mind on this review?
Focus on the record that the board created in their review of this case. Mike's gone through that in quite some detail. I think you have the packet in front of you that the board, based that the board, the evidence they considered. It's been the commissioner's prerogative to hear some amplifying comments. I think at times that's up to you whether you want to hear anything else, but I think at this point the goal would be to keep the testimony relative to the record and what was considered by the board and why they may or may not have appeared in their decision in this case.
So what are the standards that the board needs to keep in mind here for its review, whether or not due process was met, that the evidence, the decision was in keeping with the evidence presented? Are there other standards?
I think those are basically it, that they considered the standards of the Act, the guidelines that are promulgated by the Commission in reaching the decision and the evidence that was presented to the board. And in our estimation, they hit all of those issues in their deliberations and rendered their decision.
Mr. Hull is nodding.
I noticed.
Anything to add, Mr. Hull?
No.
Okay, any questions from the commission on what our task is here at this point?
Just to make sure it's clear in my mind, basically our job is just to determine whether the Wetlands Board did their job.
Correct. Yeah, I'd say that's a good summation.
Okay.
Sure. Okay. So to that end here, let's hear from the applicant, if there's anything to be added to the record here without opening the record, and from the Wetlands Board, if there's anybody that wishes to testify from that end of things. So, anybody in the audience with the Wetlands Board or the applicant who wishes to add anything to what Mr. Johnson has presented before the commission? Is there anybody in the audience who objects to this and would wish to testify as to the record that was established by Mr. Johnson? Please come forward, sir.
I just note that they have to testify what's in the record if they want to add anything additional.
That's right. I'm not inclined to open the record for new evidence at this point here, but if you wish to amplify what you previously testified to at the Wetlands Board, that would be fine. Sir, I need to swear you in here. So, quasi-judicial proceeding. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Please state your name for the record in front of the microphone.
My name is John Witherspoon.
Welcome, sir.
I'm an adjacent property owner and a petitioner. The original application led to the petition, because the petitioners felt it wasn't a good application and shouldn't have been approved. As it turned out, everybody agreed with us. Your staff agreed. The Wetlands Board agreed, because they took back the original to reconsider it in a revised form, and so did the applicant, who agreed to provide a revision. So we as petitioners are here now to comment as to whether the revision is adequate to address our concerns, and the answer to that is no. Without reviewing or getting into the record, the points of a dispute are the same. The overall length of this hardening project is the same. The impact on intertidal areas is still severe, and now we have a county CBPA report confirming our concerns about degradation of the wetland forest. They also have confirmed our belief that there's been no active erosion on the northern half of this proposal. The vegetated encroachment actually has gone up, not down, in this application. There is high non-vegetative loss, and none of the living shoreline measures that we sought have been adapted in this proposal. We thought long and hard about this, and we're not interested in launching a long and drawn out a dispute over it, but this doesn't come close to addressing our concerns. And therefore, we respectfully request that the commission reverse the local wetland board decision. Now, they were cast in a difficult role. We acknowledge that. When they accepted the revision to come back to them, they had dual responsibilities, one to protect the applicant's interest, but the other to protect the petitioner's interest. And we don't think that occurred. We don't think we're given enough attention and opportunity to state our case. So we're back here today. I'm gratefully, very grateful to have this opportunity to bring the matter to your attention and request a reversal of the Wetland Board decision.
Thank you, Mr. Witherspoon. Any questions from the commission? Mr. Zeterin.
You said that you weren't given enough opportunity to address the Wetlands Board. Did they give you a time limit or something, or limit how many speakers, or explain what you're saying?
There is a time limit in Matthews of 5 minutes. The problem with the November meeting is that we had a revised application to consider, and we rose to speak with, not to the petition. The petition wasn't on the agenda. Yet, comments were offered by the applicant's agent regarding the petition. We had no opportunity to speak about the petition itself at the November wetland meeting. There was no opportunity for a rebuttal, et cetera, that might have been given to us. I mean, the Wetland Board has control over that time limit. They can relax it if they wish. But we stuck to it, and we were cut off at mid-sentence and sat down. That happened on both occasions, both the September and the November meeting. Now, for a straightforward application, those time limits probably make sense. Our board is busy, like most boards. It has to get through the work of the day. But when a petition appears, we think the level of concern is pushed up much higher because the implications are greater, one of which is that we will be appearing here under oath to testify. Therefore, the record is very important, and it should not be prejudicial. It should have all elements of concern expressed in that record for you to review. And our side is not in that record, you'll notice, if you have the minutes before you. So we don't think the forum was adequate to meet the concerns of the petition, and which is why we're here today, why I'm speaking.
Other questions from the commission? Mr. Zedron for a follow-up.
So is it your request that we remand this back to the Wetlands Board and ask them to reopen the proceedings so that you can present your concerns?
I wouldn't presume to advise. I think you have, according to my review of the obligations you spoke about a minute ago, there are three possibilities. One is to modify it. The other is to remand. And the third is just to make. I would just reverse it.
Mr. Erskine.
Mr. Witherspoon, the record here that I see, maybe it was your wife as well, spoke in opposition, verbal opposition to the project. Did you also submit written comments in opposition to the Wetlands Board?
Put it together as the packet to be given to the board members, and I noticed during the meeting that they were, in fact, looking at handed materials that were handed to them, and I assume that included our packet.
Ms. Hurston.
So as a follow-up, so you had additional evidence that was considered by the board, I guess, written evidence as well as the verbal testimony that you all provided at that time, which I would assume covered your arguments that you had, which I'd like to ask a question about that argument, if I can, as a follow-up.
Ms. Hurston.
You're in opposition to the project, and the verbal testimony says, in part, that there's no erosion on the property. And the evidence I saw indicated there might be some erosion on the property. And I'm wondering what your alternative would be if hardening that shoreline is not appropriate. What would you suggest to stabilize that shoreline?
I think the minutes may have overstated that point about no erosion. We think the degree of remodeling of this shoreline is far less than the applicant claims, based on multiple sources of information that we submitted. Somewhere in the 1 foot per year range, well within the limit that a living shoreline could sustain. And our position from the beginning is that a living shoreline measures for work here. We've watched this property now for almost 20 years, and we know what the climate and weather impact is here, and we think that a minimal amount of hardening would accomplish their goals of having some visible stability. Quite frankly, I don't think any riprap's needed here, but the applicants have strong feelings about this, and there's probably a 100 to 125 foot section that might have a need for hardening in their mind. That would be a compromised position. The rest of it should be left alone. That wetland forest should not be disturbed, in my judgment. There's no active erosion there, and the impact of heavy equipment going in and put down 160-pound rocks is going to be substantial, as the CB, the county CB PA report confirmed. There's a wonderful marsh, mud flat, right off the wetland forest. It would be tragic to crush that under excavator equipment. There's a sand beach that's forming at the southern edge that's absolutely unique in the county. And we think these jetties are going to disrupt that beach, as they usually do. And it's going to create a hazard to small boats, not big boats. So Tad Creek isn't a large marina-type creek. But there are a lot of small boats that scoot around these recreational waters.
Mr. Erskine.
Just one final follow-up. So are there other hardened shorelines in the area?
Well, we have the largest and longest shoreline on the southern edge of Tabs Creek, and we have no hardening. There's one small property on a cove of Tabs Creek on our side that has maybe 75 feet, but the house was on an old footprint. It's right close to the water. There is hardening, of course, a substantial amount of the northern edge of Tabs Creek, and that's been referred to in this application as similar to this property. It's not. This is a basin. It's protected. It doesn't have the long fetch down the Mobjack or up the East River that the northern properties have on the other side of Tabs Creek.
Thank you.
Other questions from the commission? Mr. Witherspoon, I do have a quick question here. The testimony you've just provided here, was this substantially what you provided to the Wetland Board, either verbally or with written comment and documentation?
No.
So this is expanding the record?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to address the commission on this matter, pro or con? Anyone? Please come forward, ma'am. That's a commission decision, not mine. I'd rather not rehear this case. This has been heard at the Wetlands Board twice in two different iterations, but that's up to the commission. So let me ask the commission. Do you want to reopen the record here for additional testimony and new testimony?
No.
I think the consensus is no. We do not want to reopen the record here. Well, let's make that official. You're right, Kathy. So a motion here to not reopen the record?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Erskine, second by Mr. Miner. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. We will not reopen the record. So this is relegated to just an evaluation and a decision on whether to remand, reverse, or uphold the Wetlands Board decision. So that's where we're at. Is there anybody who wishes to testify in that keeping, in that guideline, with that focus? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed. Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Zedron.
From my view, it looks to me like there's substantial erosion there, and the photographs we saw, it looks like it is increasing. There's some substantial erosion by the taking of the trees, and we see a couple of trees that fall down, the roots, and that type of thing. So I think there is a need for some sort of preventment there, and I think that it sounds to me like the Wetland Board did a great job and had ample time for everybody to have input. I think due process was served. I think, they had allowed for written and oral testimony and did about what they could. They also went back and tried to minimize the effects on the wetlands, and I think that they did an excellent job. I would move that we approve the wetlands decision.
Second.
It's a motion by Mr. Zedron and a second by Mr. Erskine. Is there a discussion? I want to say something here, and I echo what Mr. Zedron says. I think that the Wetlands Board here had a very difficult job, and I think they did a very good job in this case. I think that they were diligent and contemplative. I think that there was more than a bit of degree of flexibility here in the project that was ultimately approved here. I think did a better job of protecting our natural resources than the first iteration. So I commend the Wetlands Board here. The Wetlands Board's, they have a difficult job. These are citizens here who share the values that this board shares, which is to protect our natural resources. So I commend the Wetlands Board in this case in particular. Is So we have a motion on the table here to uphold the Wetlands Board decision. And a second, I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? The chair votes aye as well. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you all.